This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for out of His favor and His kindness has not only given us the day of Jumu'ah, which is a kafara, which is a forgiveness from one week to the next, but He has given us the day of Arafah, the holiest day in the year, which is a forgiveness for the Hujjaj on Arafah, a lifetime of sin. And for those of us who are not fortunate enough to be there, Allah has not excluded us and has allowed us to fast on this day as a kafara for 2 years of sin. This is the mercy of Allah, bringing us back even in spite of us turning away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to us. When we put on that television, when we open the newspaper, we look at the news, we will see a miracle unfolding before our eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prophesied this even before Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah prophesied the happening of this Hajj, the millions that will come to this one location on earth, this very, very small location. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi Ibrahim in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we designated for Ibrahim the site of the house, when Allah told Nabi Ibrahim, this is where the Kaaba must be. Allah commanded Nabi Ibrahim, do not commit shirk, do not worship anything with me, and purify my house. Make this Kaaba pure for those who perform tawaf, and those who would stand in salah, and those who would make ruku, and those who would make sujood. A place that is universally open to anyone who wants to worship Allah alone. This is His house. This is the place to do it. And then Allah tells Nabi Ibrahim. Now remember, there was no Makkah, there was no Hilton, there was no Bin Dawood, there was no oil, there was nothing. This was an open, barren land. Not even the well of Zamzam was there before this. Then Allah says to Nabi Ibrahim, after he had built this Kaaba, alayhi salam, and no one is living there in Makkah, Allah says, and now proclaim to the people the Hajj. Call the people throughout the world, they must come to this middle of the desert land, for Hajj. Allah says, don't worry. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. They will come from every distant past, every far corner of the world. They will come. You make the call, I will make sure they respond. Today we see the millions and millions saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Labbaik meaning, I respond, Ya Allah. You called and I answer. From every country in the world, far and wide, the millions that are there is only a percentage of the millions who are trying to get there. The struggle to get to Makkah, how many millions, unfortunately not able to get there. We know here in Cape Town, and we're not such a big population, such a big Muslim population, there are 3-4 years of waiting list. Other countries, you wait your whole life to get on the list of the Hajj. This is a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't worry, they will come and they will answer. Today, in our lifetime, we see this happening. And this, of course, today, in Makkah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, it is the culmination of the Hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Hajj Arafah. That the pillar, the key pillar of Hajj is the day of Arafah. The wukuf from Dhuhr today until Maghrib tonight, this is the waqt of wukuf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, and Allah only takes an oath, a qasam. We can only swear by Allah. We can't say by the son or by my father, no haram. We can say only by Allah. Wallahi, by Allah, I did X, Y, and Z. So what does Allah swear with? What does Allah take an oath with? He takes an oath, Allah Azza wa Jal, by those of His creations that are the biggest and supreme. So Allah says, by the sky containing great stars. I swear, Allah says, by the sky and all the stars that are in it. And by the promised day, meaning the day of Qiyamah. And by the witness and what is witnessed. And in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the promised day is the day of resurrection. The witness day is the day of Arafah. And the witnessing day is the day of Friday. So Allah swears by the day of Arafah and by the day of Friday. So Allah swears by these 2 days. That this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears in Surah Al-Buruj by these great events. The greatest day of forgiveness is the day of Arafah. More forgiveness and more tawbah and more people are released from the fire on today than any other day of the year. It's what makes it so holy. Dates and events, what makes it holy is the holiness that happens on the day. Sometimes, and we'll talk about this, we argue about dates and we forget the essence. A number on a calendar is not what's important. What is important is the taqwa, as Allah will mention later with the qurban. It's not the slaughter and the blood. It is the taqwa that makes it holy. It is the taqwa, Allah says in another ayah, it is not piety to turn your face to the east or the west, meaning in salah, face this qibla or that qibla. What is piety is the taqwa. That is what counts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, there is no day on which Allah frees more people from the fire of Jahannam except on the day of Arafah. So we make dua that we are of those who are released. Today is an amnesty. Today is forgiveness. Our names might be on the roll of Jahannam wa iyadu billah, but it's in our hands today to free ourselves from that Jahannam by the grace of Allah. On top of that, Allah comes close to the people of Arafah in a way that befits Allah's majesty. And Allah boasts to the malaika. Allah turns to the angels and says, look at those people coming untidy, coming from far and wide. Remember when I said to you, O malaika, inni ja'inu fil ardi khalifa, I'm going to put on this earth a man. What did you say? The angel said, ya Allah, will you put on the earth those who will shed blood and cause mischief? Look at them now, my malaika. What do you have to say now? Allah boasts, Allah takes pride in insan today. Allah says, verily Allah boasts, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, verily Allah boasts of the people of Arafah before the people of the heaven, meaning the angels saying, look to my servants who have come to me disheveled and dusty. And Allah remains proud of insan on this day. How beautiful is it that your Rabb will take boast with insan. So that's why it is not just an Eid or a great day of Arafah for the Hujjaj, but for all of insan. All of us, all of insan, we have a good symbol and a good showing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us, and Allah gives us this great reward as we mentioned, that those who are not able to be there on Arafah and to experience the rahmah personally, we get it through fasting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the fasting on the day of Arafah, it expiates, it removes the sin of the previous year, 2014, and it removes all the sins that are coming, 2015. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting and our tawbah and to remove the sins through Allah's mercy, no matter, and remember this Jamaat al-Muslimin, no matter how great and big your sins are, the rahmah and the mercy of Allah is greater and far more vast than that. If only we turn to Allah in tawbah. Following the day of Arafah, or the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, we'll talk about this in a minute, is of course the Eid ul-Adha, another, and there's a difference opinion among the ulama as to which day is holier, the day of Arafah or the day of Eid ul-Adha. Without a doubt for the Hujjaj, Arafah is the holiest day in the year for the Haji, because that is his Hajj. If he misses Arafah, unfortunately he has no Hajj. The culmination of the Hajj is Arafah. But for those of us who are not on Arafah, then we also share, and this is why Eid al-Adha is actually holier than Eid al-Fitr. I know, labarang, the Eid al-Fitr, we make more of a hype because after the fasting, everyone wants now a break. But Eid al-Adha is holier because while we are not on Hajj, we participate in the rituals of Hajj. We are not there to Qurban, and that's part of the rituals of Hajj, but we Qurban here at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also swears, and Allah mentions the day of Eid al-Adha in the Quran, when Allah says, wal-fajr, by the dawn, and wal-layalin ashr, and by the 10 nights, meaning the 10 days of the Hijjah. These 10 days are the holiest days of the year. And by the even, and the odd, the even day, the 10th, and the odd, the 9th day of the day of Arafah. This is as Ibn Abbas, the great Mufassir, he says, the even day is the day of Al-Adha, and the odd day is the day of Arafah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds these days in high regard because of the holiness that Allah sends down. We ask again, why is Laylatul Qadr holy? And Allah explains why Laylatul Qadr is holy, because Allah sent the Quran down on that night, and that is the night in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree all affairs. So something happens on this day and this night that makes it holy. And what is the holiness? It's the taqwa that happens when millions and millions of people will come and make ibadah, come all around the world to worship Allah alone. And the millions, hundreds of millions more will fast and slaughter for the sake of Allah. This is what counts in the sight of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upheld the Eid. And when he came into Medina, he found the people of Medina had two festivals during the year. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed these festivals and replaced it with the two festivals of Eid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has given you 2 days better than these days that you are following. The days of Al-Fitr and the day of Al-Adha. Al-Adha meaning slaughter. And the second Eid, according to the ulama and with consensus, Eid al-Adha, the feast of sacrifice, which is the 10th day of the Hijjah, is the greater and the better of the two Eids. That it is the holier of the two Eids. So holy that in fact Allah has allowed us to celebrate it over 3 extra days like the Hujjaj. So if you are Haji, and for those of us who haven't been on Hajj, inshallah you'll experience this for yourself. After today, you will stay on Arafah until sunset. Then you will leave Arafah and go to Muzdalifah, a place just outside of Mina, and you'll spend the evening there in Muzdalifah. Then on the morning, tomorrow morning after Fajr, the day of Eid, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, as a Haji, you won't make Eid Salah. You won't go to the Masjid for Eid Salah. You'll still be in your Ihram. And then you will go and complete the rituals of Hajj. You'll pelt the Jamarat. You will go and perform the main Tawaf, Tawaf al-Ifada. You'll go all the way back to Mecca, Tawaf al-Ifada, and you will Sa'i. And of course, someone will slaughter for you. Now, it's not possible. Some people do, but it's very difficult for every person to slaughter his own sheep. So the agents, whoever they are, they slaughter on your behalf. Once this is done, you have completed your Hajj really. Then Allah has given you 3 extra days, the days of Tashriq, where you spent on Mina to glorify Allah, to worship Allah, to make takbir for the goodness you've done, and to throw the Jamarat. And all of us share in that Eid. We can slaughter Qurban, not only on the day of Eid, but also on these days of Tashriq. So this day, the day of Eid and the day of Arafah, the holiness of it is attached to the completion of the ibadah of Hajj, completing the journey of a lifetime. For a Muslim, once you've completed your Hajj, in many ways you are ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your sins are forgiven, your iman is complete. It was in fact, and inshallah we'll talk about this on the day of Eid tomorrow in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on day of Arafah, revealed those verses in Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that today I have completed for you your deen. Yes, Islam was completed, but for an individual, when he completes that action, that ibadah, when he completes the rites of Hajj, his deen is now complete. His sins are forgiven and his Islam is complete. He's ready to meet Allah, and inshallah, Jannah is written for him. So how great is that journey? All of us, inshallah, to make that niyyah, I'm going to go for Hajj, inshallah. If I haven't done so yet, save whatever you can. Put your name on the list. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you have or who you are. When Allah gives that invitation, no one is going to stop you. When Allah gives that invitation, no one's going to stop you. But the beginning of that invitation requires your niyyah. You must apply, not apply through visas or embassy, apply with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that happens, you will get, inshallah, your opportunity to go on Hajj. The Prophet says, the greatest days of before Allah is the day of sacrifice. And therefore, as I mentioned, the ulama at times disagree as to which day is holier, the day of Arafah and the day of Adha, on the day, the Eid of Adha. But these, without a doubt, you are in the midst of the holiest days of the year. So that same kind of seriousness that we had in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that same kind of seriousness that we had on Laylatul Qadr, the 27th of Ramadan, we should have that seriousness now, inshallah, fast and give extra. There's no specific ibadah. There's no specific Taraweeh Salah, which has been prescribed for these days. But what is prescribed is to increase in goodness. The only great sunnah that is done on this day, or the days of Eid, is the slaughter, the Qurban, in emulation of Nabi Ibrahim's sacrifice. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the slaughter, mentions the Nahr. That's why it's called Eidul Nahr, right? The day of slaughter. Allah mentions this in the Quran in several places. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So make salah to Allah. Allah says, therefore turn in prayer to Allah and sacrifice and slaughter for Allah's sake. And Allah mentions the Qurban. And that is why, as I mentioned, Jamaatul Muslimin, we are greatly fortunate that even though we are not on Hajj, that Allah has allowed us to participate in the rituals of Hajj. So those of you who can, and of course, if you miss the deadline, you still have the 3 days of Tashriq to slaughter, Monday and Tuesday, and the days after Eid, you can slaughter as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to participate in this great ibadah. And Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj, and for every nation, we have appointed religious ceremonies. We have made for different people. So for people in South America, they were unable to come to Mecca for Hajj. Allah gave them some other ritual to perform to show the taqwa to Allah. So Allah says, for every nation, we have appointed religious ceremonies that they may mention the name of Allah over the beasts of cattle that Allah has given them for food. So that you remember Allah when you slaughter, alhamdulillah, these great animals, bigger than us, stronger than us, Allah has subdued them that we can enjoy them. And your ilah, your Rabb is one ilah, so you must submit to him alone. And give glad tidings to the muhbitun, those who are steadfast on taqwa and tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've appointed these rituals as part of your national rituals, so participate in them. So many people today, we look at the Qurban, and we work with non-Muslims, and this must be mentioned, and they look at the Qurban and says, oh, you guys are a bit, bloodthirsty, brutal. Look how you harm the animals, or look how you do what you do. Can't you just give the money to an orphanage or something? Why must you slaughter? Does your Allah require blood and sacrifice and want animals to get hurt? Of course, we know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that everything in Islam must be done with perfection. If you slaughter, slaughter perfectly. Don't let the animal see the blade and let it be sharp and quick. Animal mustn't even know what's happening. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes this clear in the Quran. Where Allah says, the meat of that which you qurban will not reach Allah. Allah doesn't need chops and sausage. Allah doesn't need that. Nor will their blood. Their blood doesn't come to Allah. But what reaches Allah is the piety, is that taqwa in yourself. What reaches him is the piety from you. Thus we have made them, subjugated them to you. We've made them humble to you, that you make glory, so that you can make glorification of Allah. Allah's not concerned about the animal. Allah's concerned about you. How are you going to make taqwa to Allah? Just like that animal submits and he sacrifices himself, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are in that position between yourself and Allah. You need to sacrifice yourself like that and submit yourself to Allah's will like that animal has submitted. That is what is we should go through our mind. Thus have we subjugated them to you, that you may glorify Allah for that which He has guided you, and give glad tidings to the doers of good. And alhamdulillah, as we know, the great part of this Eid is that we don't enjoy it on our own. And alhamdulillah, and we hope this continues within the Muslim community, and here in Cape Town in particular, that we know that Eid is not an Eid if we don't enjoy the bounties of Eid with those less fortunate. So in Eid al-Fitr, the fitr is paid, no food is given, pots of food are made. Today, alhamdulillah, when the slaughter begins, that meat will be distributed far and wide. Because we say that on Eid, we will not be happy to enjoy an Eid meal when someone else in our area is going hungry, Muslim or non-Muslim. That Eid meat can go to Muslims or non-Muslims. Of course, we see to the Muslim people that are in need, and then whatever is left over, we feed the non-Muslim as well. This shows you the beauty of this day of Eid. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed in the Sharia flexibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed in the Sharia flexibility. And you'll find we have four madahib. You'll find that we have difference of opinion. And this is not something, Jamaatul Muslimin, that we should feel sad and bad about. Yes, not all differences are good. Sometimes differences cause harm and friction, and especially on the fundamentals of Islam, we don't disagree on those things. But where Allah has granted us leeway, so for an example, the man is traveling during Ramadan. He asks, Sheikh, must I fast or must I break my fast? Ulama says, you can do whichever one you want. Some ulama will say, better for you to fast. Another alim will say, it's better for you to break your fast. Another third opinion will be, whatever is easiest for you. If it's easier for you to fast because you're on first class or something, to fast after that is more difficult, choose whichever you want. And within the time of Sahaba, amongst the greatest of people, they had differences of opinion. And this showed you the flexibility of Islam. That whoever takes that opinion, alhamdulillah, he's on haq. Whoever takes that opinion, alhamdulillah, he's on al-haq. Whichever madhab you follow, they all lead to the same destination. They all lead to the same destination. Doesn't matter which road you take. So, and this is for our brothers who have studied fiqh. I know I didn't study in the faculty of Sharia, but some of my colleagues would study in Sharia, and they would study there, and they come out and they say, Subhanallah, it's like I don't have to take wudu anymore. This one says you must make your whole head, that one says part of your head. But they'll say ikhtilaf, difference of opinion is beautiful. It shows you that the ulama applied their brains for 1,000 years, and they debated every single angle, and they discussed every single point of view, and anyone, doesn't matter what degrees you have, where you stand, if you're the sheikh or not the sheikh, you can come forward and say, Sheikh, I see this hadith here, it contradicts what you say, explain this to me. And it's our responsibility to explain every bit of information. This is not a clergy. Islam is not a clergy. No group of people or certain sect has a monopoly over what is Sharia or not Sharia. The only thing which is Sharia is Kitabullah, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So naturally, this book is open for us to read, and the sunnah is open for us to practice, and sometimes we have difference of opinion. So as we know, as I'm sure all of you know, and we should mention these things for the benefit of our community, we will have differences of opinion as to when Eid should be celebrated. Some majority would celebrate Eid on Sunday, I imagine, and some will celebrate Eid on Saturday, as is the case with this masjid, as it has been for many, many years. So which do we follow? Some people are totally, you know, they're not sure. They, for the first time, they're hearing these things. Why do you have two Eids? As the joke says, no matter how drunk a Christian or someone gets, he knows when Christmas is. But you guys, you don't know when Eid is. What's wrong with you people? Right? So we say that Eid, this issue of Eid is a beautiful issue of adab and ikhtilaf. It shows you the thinking of the scholars. And it shows you that once you go through the evidences, you will struggle to say, I still don't know which day is right. And that is the beauty of this deen, that both sides come with strong and solid evidences. So let us discuss the evidences of both sides, and so we can reach, inshallah, a conclusion. As we know, the majority of South Africa, and in many countries, they follow a lunar sighting for the events. The events that occur during the year, Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and even for some people, which is a minority again, the day of Arafah, they look to what is happening in terms of the lunar calendar, the moon. And they back this up based on the Quranic ayah. Evidence of this is the Quran. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ They ask you, O Muhammad, concerning the new moons, the crescent, the hilal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say that the hilal, the crescent, they are measurements of time for the people and for Hajj. How do you know when it's Hajj? How do you know when it's Arafah? How do you know when it's Eid? Look to the crescent. Powerful evidence. This is in the Quran. It's supporting, you follow the moon. Allah says, we look at the moon to determine when the times of Hajj in particular should come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving a hadith as to Ramadan, fast when you see it, meaning the moon, the new moon of Ramadan. And stop fasting, meaning celebrate Eid when you see it again. And if it becomes cloudy and you can't see it, then complete the month 30 days. Strong evidence from Quran and Sunnah that we should follow the Eid. We should follow the moon in determining our dates of Eid. Of course, the argument, and we'll talk about this, is that the day of Arafah is particular and specific to a time and place. And this is the counter argument we'll talk about. But the first view, the first opinion, and many scholars on this opinion following the moon, will say that the day of Arafah and the day of Eid are not connected. That these are two totally separate acts of ibadah. It doesn't matter when you have Arafah and when you have Eid. They are two separate issues. So how can you say that, brother? So the evidence is from the Sunnah. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he institutionalized Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr before Hajj became compulsory. So before they performed Hajj, Eid was already something which was practiced. Before there was an Arafah, according to this opinion, an Arafah as the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Arafah, there was already an Eid. So why should the two be linked today? Right, this is one argument. The counter argument to this, he says, brother, Eid al-Adha comes in the time of Nabi Ibrahim already, when Nabi Ismail had to be sacrificed. You see this back and forth, beautiful, beautiful discussion. And if we look at the example of the Salaf, meaning the pious predecessors, we are not the first community to go through this. And as the ulama say, probably until Qiyamah, this issue will not be resolved. Right? We hope, inshallah, this issue will be resolved on unity and on beauty. But the ulama of the past, Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, the Sahaba of old, even the Sahaba, when the Muslim Ummah expanded all the way to Morocco and all the way to Pakistan, of course, how did they know when Eid was going to be in Mecca? How did they know when? So everyone had to follow their own lunar calendar. And if the great Sahaba, and the argument of the first view, if the great Sahaba and the great A'imma had different Eids in different places, then why should we change and upset the apple cart? Right? They didn't have the technology to verify it, but they went on, so let's continue. So we understand the evidence of the moonies, so to say. Strong and beautiful evidence. It is worthy to put it on the table and worthy to follow it. If you follow it, alhamdulillah, you have adilla. The other side of the coin, and they're both on the same coin, those who follow the evidence and say, we fast, we perform our Eid in line with Mecca. How do you come on this, brother? Have you not read all these ayat and hadith? The first question, and this is the strongest of the evidence, is that the times or the actions of ibadah are specific to time and place. So some ibadat you do according to time. You must fast in the month of Ramadan. You must make salah when the waqt comes in and when the waqt goes out. Certain ibadat are only applicable in certain places. You cannot have Hajj anywhere else besides in Mecca. You cannot have Arafah in any other place besides Arafah. You can't even have Arafah in Mecca. Haram, you can't do that. So we ask, and this is the question, when is the day of Arafah? When is the day of Arafah? Is the day of Arafah something based on the lunar calendar or the day when the Hujjaj are standing on Arafah? It's a very good question. Very, very good question. And of course, the majority of the scholars would confirm that the day of Wukuf, the day of Arafah, is the day that the Hujjaj are standing there. Because also there's no hadith, you won't find any hadith or ayah saying that the day of Arafah is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Right? You won't find any evidence saying it's the 9th. Allah says, on the well-known days, the well-known days. So the Arabs knew that Allah didn't have to enforce them, Arafah is the 9th. They knew Arafah is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So the scholars, we give a unique situation. All the Hujjaj of the world have arrived on Medina, on Jeddah airport. And they're about to go to Arafah tomorrow, it's the 9th. And some, may Allah protect, some catastrophe happened and they can't get to Arafah on the 9th. They only get there the 10th. So we say, what happens to the Hajj of these people? When is Arafah? The ulama across the big spectrum, all the madahib will agree, when they get to Arafah, that is the day of Arafah. Now the calendar doesn't matter. It is when the Hujjaj stand there and they make that ibadah, that is the taqwa Allah is looking for. That is when Allah descends upon them and removes them from Jahannam. Because of course this was not done deliberately. So the ulama are unanimous that if the Hujjaj are unable to reach Arafah for whatever reason out of their power on the 9th, then when they reach Arafah, that is the day of Arafah. That is the day of Arafah. So of course, this argument has power. It has emphasis that the day of Arafah is the day when the Hujjaj are standing there. And the holiness, as I said, of the day is linked to ibadah. What is greater, a date on the calendar or the actions of 2 million people completing their Hajj? Which two do you think is holier in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if we all agree Arafah is connected to the Hujjaj and their rituals on Hajj, then the argument of those who celebrate Eid with Makkah, they will say then when is Eid? Is Eid not the day after Arafah? Is Eid not also connected to the rituals? And this in essence is the debate. This in essence is the argument. And they put forward many arguments to support that Eid is the day connected to Arafah. And amongst the arguments, they would say the entire actions of Hajj, going around the Kaaba, going up and down the Sa'i, slaughtering the animals, standing on Arafah, pelting the Jamarat. What is all this? It all comes from the story of Nabi Ibrahim. When Allah commanded Nabi Ibrahim, sacrifice your son Ismail. So while we only slaughter sheep or camels, Allah demanded from Nabi Ibrahim, sacrifice your child. This was the kind of taqwa Allah wanted from His Anbiya. This is the kind of taqwa Allah expects from us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Hajj for us an inaction, a ritual to follow the example of Nabi Ibrahim. So the argument is that the whole, all these rituals are connected to the Hajj. Arafah is part of Hajj and Eid therefore is part of Hajj. And the ayat which are quoted, when Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and when you have completed your manasik, your rituals, of Hajj, only when you've completed Arafah and you've done what you're supposed to do on the day of Eid, remember Allah, then you make the takbir. Only once the ibadah is complete can you start making the takbir. And this of course particular specifically to the Hujjaj. Remember Allah like you remember your forefathers, or even greater remembrance. Remember Allah with all you can. And Allah mentions Surah Al-Baqarah, and for you to complete the, and when Allah speaks about Eid al-Fitr again, so many ulama mention, is it not strange that after the holiest day in the year comes an Eid? And after the holiest night in the year, after Laylatul Qadr, another Eid comes. After we complete two pillars of Islam, there's a celebration. Is there no link between these two celebrations? Do we say that these are just coincidental? Allah mentions with regards to Eid al-Fitr. And when Allah wants for you to complete the period of your fasting, لِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ, so you may complete the fasting, Walitukabbirullah. And after we complete Ramadan, what do? We make takbir. Only when you completed the Ramadan will you start making takbir. Glorify Allah for that which He has guided you, and perhaps you'll be grateful. So Allah says the takbir and the Eid is linked to the ibadah that you have done. In this ayah that we spoke about earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and proclaim to the people the Hajj, they will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. They will come from every distant pass, that they may witness, so why is their Hajj? That they may witness the benefits for themselves and mention the name of Allah on the days over which He has provided for them of sacrifice. So Allah has linked the slaughter and the takbir to the days of Hajj in the Quran. So now we have ayat on both sides. We have hadith on both sides. We have scholars on both sides. What do we do? What do we choose? What is the conclusion? And sometimes I myself have asked more senior scholars and they give you this answer. I have two opinions, this one and that one. I said, oh, Sheikh, just give me one answer. I want to know which day I must fast. I want to know which day. I've asked someone senior, you know, this question a few days ago, and he couldn't give me a straight answer. At the end of the day, the conclusion, the correct answer is both sides are correct. Both sides have opinions. And within the time of Sahaba, you had an issue which arose. To give you an example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we will not perform Asr Salah until we reach whatever destination, Banu Qurayza, I believe. And the Sahaba were performing, they were on their way to this destination and the waqt of Asr came in. Some Sahaba said, no, sam'an wa ta'an, we obey Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't perform Salah until we reach that destination. Another Sahaba, Sayyidina Umar, said, no, Salah is priority. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wasn't commanding us that. He will say, we will reach there, inshallah, by Asr time. So we're going to first make Asr. And the Sahaba was split. Some went on and some made Salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, both of you are correct, but Umar was better. Another example is the judge. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if two judges give rulings and they apply their mind sincerely and they do their best they can, one comes with an incorrect opinion, the other one comes with a correct opinion, the one who was correct gets two rewards. One reward for the correct opinion and one reward for his ijtihad, for his hard work. As for the one who committed the mistake, he gets one reward for his sincere struggle to find the truth. So even if you apply yourself and you come up with an incorrect opinion, Allah's mercy is there for you as well. So this is the consensus of the ulama, that both sides have strong opinions. And you may celebrate each whichever day you want, whether Saturday or Sunday. That this is an Eid for whoever you want. And what Allah has done out of His mercy, for some reason Allah has made this Eid 3 days. He has given more than one day in this on this Eid, the days of Tashriq, to slaughter and to have a feast. In the hadith it says, the day of Eid and the days of Tashriq is to be used as a festival for eating and drinking haram, to fast on these days. So this shows you the leniency in Islam. And when we put these two questions in perspective, remember that fasting on the day of Arafah is sunnah. If you don't do it, no punishment. The salah of Eid, whichever day it may be, if you don't come to the masjid, it's a sunnah. The fajr is more important. That fajr before Eid salah is far more important than the Eid salah. But if you don't come to the masjid for Eid salah, sunnah, no punishment on you. But what Allah has made wajib on us is the keeping of family ties and the unity of our community. When Allah says, and hold firmly to the rope of Allah all together and do not become divided. This is unity. This is fard. Sunnah, Eid is sunnah. The Eid salah is sunnah, optional. Unity is wajib. So the person who uses Eid as a day to cause friction in families, a day to disunite communities, then you have not celebrated the purpose of Eid altogether. We look at Hajj, we see the unity of millions of people, black and white, from all corners of the world. But here on a day which all of us can enjoy, we disunite with one another. So the advice the ulama give, and this is, if you look across the board, what do the ulama say? On both sides, they'll say, number one, unity is priority. If you find yourself in a family where you're the odd man out, you keep Eid with your family, whichever that may be. If you're in a community and they all have one specific Eid, then you celebrate with that community. So if you kept Eid in Cape Town on Saturday, and then you fly to Pakistan, whatever country, and there you find Eid is on Sunday, you keep Eid with them on Sunday as well. Why? Because now you're part of the community. Don't be the odd man out. Unity is wajib. And this is the symbol, one of the greatest examples of the Hajj. And if we want to reflect on the Hajj here at home, we will have unity. Eid Salah is not the priority. The slaughter is not even a priority. What is priority is go and greet your family members and love them and hug them and have unity. That is wajib in the Quran. So inshallah, whichever day you have, whether you have Eid on Saturday or Labarang on Sunday, may you have a blessed Eid. And inshallah, for all of you, get in touch with your family, unite one another, go to your neighbor whichever day he keeps, go to your brother whichever day you keep or he keeps, have that supper whatever day you want, Saturday night even if you want, no problem. Make it, inshallah, a day of unity and family and of taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with that taqwa. May Allah accept from you your fasting and the udhiyah and all the hujjaj. May they have a hajj and mabrur, and may all their sins be forgiven and return to us free of all sins, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, the announcements. As I mentioned, the Eid will be held in this masjid tomorrow. And that the program for tomorrow morning is the takbir will begin at 7 o'clock. Inshallah, the pre-khutbah talk, the English talk will be at 7:30, entitled The Perfection of the Deen. 8 o'clock is the Eid Salah. And 10 minutes later, 10 past 8, inshallah, will be the khutbah, inshallah, jazakallah khair. Qurban at 9 o'clock at the center. And on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday at 9 o'clock, inshallah. Half past 2 on Sunday and afternoon, okay? So Saturday, Qurban at 9 o'clock. And on Sunday, half past 2, Qurbaning at the center, inshallah, jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.